Good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be together. I hope you've had a really nice day. It's wonderful to be able to pause and just open up God's word together again. We're going to be turning our way back to 2 Peter again. We find ourselves in chapter 3 today. So if it's your first time checking in with us, join us, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll have a look what God has to say. But let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for God's word. We thank you for the way that you use it to build us up and encourage our hearts. We pray that you would turn our hearts and minds towards you now, that you would speak, and that we would see more of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Saviour through your apostles. Well, Peter is an amazing teacher, and one of the things that we all know about very good teachers is they tend to repeat themselves a whole lot. You know, we can fall into the trap of thinking that good teachers are always saying really novel and new things. But really, the sign of a great teacher is someone who repeats the important things, repeats the essentials over and over and over again. And Peter has been doing this, hasn't he? He's been reminding us, he tells us. He's been stirring up our sincere mind, or stirring up our pure mind via a reminder. And of course, the first thing we wonder is, well, what's all this reminder business? I wonder if you can remember a while ago we were talking about reminders back in chapter 1. If you have a look there in verse 12, it says, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by the way of reminder. Stir you up by the way of reminder. So almost the same words, really. And he did the same thing in 1 Peter. If you remember back there, he was stirring up the believers. And do you remember what sorts of things that he was looking to stir up? He was looking to stir up holiness, wasn't he? Good works, godliness, Christ-likeness. That in 1 Peter, that in the times of persecution and difficulties, that the Christ-likeness would almost ooze out of us, so to say. That as the world squishes us like a sponge, out would flow Christ-likeness. And really, in a nutshell, 2 Peter is the same thing. Although he's not really specifically thinking about persecution and trials and difficulties now, he is thinking just about the Christian life. And you remember all the way back in chapter 1, he said in verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And what was the purpose of doing that? If you have a look further down that section, he says in verse 10, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling. In other words, live as becomes a child of God. And we talked a bit about that. And it's something Peter's said quite often, and James, and every other book of the Bible. Live as a child of God should live. And in doing so, you will prove yourself or show yourself to be a child of God. It's not that you will earn the right to be a child of God, but as a tree, you will produce the fruit that matches being a child of God. And so now, in chapter 3, Peter turns to, I guess, push down a slightly different track. It's not much different, but it's a slightly different track. And that is really in the area of our mind. He says in verse 1 of chapter 3 that he wants to stir up our sincere minds by the way of this reminder. You see, we don't have room for anti-intellectualism in the church. If you don't know what anti-intellectualism is, it's the idea that the intellect doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter what you think. It's not that important if you have a good theology or not. What really matters is what you feel and what you believe. What really matters is relationship. And intellectual matters don't really matter. We can just set them to the side. We don't need preaching. We don't need studies. We need dancing. We need clowns. We need entertainment. We need better music. We need fancy light shows. And there is a big push for this, isn't there, in the world, to move away from the intellect in the church and to move towards excitement, towards flashy lights and entertainment. And the reason is, I think partly, that it kind of works. You know, from a purely pragmatic point of view, it kind of works, or at least appears to work. You see, the reality is, if you have an incredible band, incredible lights, all the exterior furnishings, your church will grow. But it won't get the growth that the Bible wants for us. You see, Peter doesn't want us to have a fancy show, does he? Peter wants our minds to be stirred up. And what are they to be stirred up towards? Have a look at verse 2. That you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. You see, in the next section, Peter's going to talk about scoffers and effectively false teachers, picking up similar to chapter 2. He's going to be talking about what the false teachers have been saying and the mockers of God and what they're teaching and saying. And so in order to go there, he's saying you need to safeguard yourself by thinking rightly. And how do we think rightly? How do we think clearly? How do we think sincerely and purely, which is what Peter's saying, sincerely and purely? We do that by remembering something. And of course, we just read, by remembering, firstly, the predictions of the holy prophets. You see, different things will happen in the world and in the church, and a lot of them have been predicted. So take the scoffers that he's going to talk about. The prophets prophesied that false prophets would come, that false teachers would come, that mockers and drunks would come. But not only the false prophets, he says, the commandment of the Lord and Savior. Jesus spoke about it. Jesus spoke about the fact that wolves would come dressed as sheep. That we must beware of the false teachers. We must stay on the right path, on the narrow path, not the wide path, but the narrow path. And the apostles took up the same teaching, didn't they? You think about Paul standing before the leaders, the elders of Ephesus, and saying to them, I'm leaving, you're never going to see my face again, but beware, because a time will come when wolves will come in dressed as sheep to devour the flock, and they'll even come from your own number. So what do we do to safeguard ourselves against this, to protect ourselves when this happens? We need to think rightly. We need to have pure thinking, sincere thinking. And the only way to get that is by turning to the Word of God. How could we shape our thinking sincerely outside of the Scripture? You see, there would be no assurance, would there? There would be no guarantee that our thinking is shaped rightly. The only way we can be sure that our thinking is right is if we have a means to test it by. And outside of the Scriptures, there is no means. You see, we can bounce ideas off each other. You can go to your pastor or to your elder or to a trusted advisor or friend. But you don't know for a fact that that person is right, because no one has perfect knowledge. You see, you can come to me and talk to me about things, but there's going to be some areas I don't understand properly or fully. And so I can help as much as I can, but even in the help I give, you can't be totally sure that what I've said is correct, can you? But where can you find that? In the scriptures. You see, this is why it's so important that we hold to things like the infallibility of the Word of God and the inerrancy of Scripture, which the Bible says to be true. We must hold on to that, because if the Bible is perfect, without errors in the original manuscripts, then we can have confidence, can't we? We can turn to it, and we can bring our thinking, and we can shape our thinking in accordance with the Word of God. And this is really important for you in your individual life. As you make decisions in your life, is it right for me to marry this person? Well, you apply the rules of Scripture to it. Is the person a non-Christian? Oh, they are. Then no, you shouldn't marry them. Or should I go and take this new job? Well, what would that job require of you? Would it enable you to honor Christ more? Oh, no, it's going to mean I can't go to church events. I'm going to sacrifice my family to take it. Well, then you shouldn't take it. But it's also important for us as churches, isn't it? How do we make decisions as churches of how we grow and how we learn and how we adapt to context and culture and all the different things around us? The only way we can do that is by taking the Word of God and applying it to our situation. And so when a question gets raised, whether it's on a local church level or whether it's on a denominational level, the question we have to ask is, what does the Word of God say? Let's have our minds stirred up. Have our minds stirred up so that we would use them sincerely and purely. And so we must meditate upon the scriptures. We must soak in the teaching of the prophets, soak in the teaching of the apostles, soak in the teaching of Christ, so that it would be of us like it is, or was, I should say, described of John Bunyan, that when people would prick us, we would bleed bibline, Spurgeon said of John Bunyan. And you see, the only way we can have our minds stirred up to purity is through reminders. And that's what Peter's doing, isn't he? He's reminding us of the truths of the gospel and what is necessary and good for us so that we would go and do it. But of course, there's a challenge in that, isn't there? It means we can't just learn with our minds and do nothing. Otherwise, we become like the guy in James we read about a while ago, who goes up to the mirror, looks in the mirror, turns around, walks off, and instantly forgets what he looks like. What an idiot. But we can be like that, can't we? Because we read this stuff, we talk about these things, we think through these things, and then we walk off and we don't do them. So we must not just be hearers of God's word, but we must be doers. So let me encourage you, shape your mind by the Word of God and ask yourself, what is my mind being shaped by? What is my mind being shaped by? Is my mind being shaped by TV, social media, friends, the internet? Or is my mind being shaped by God, by being stirred up by these reminders that the Scriptures give us? And then are we acting upon it? Are we consuming the word and living the word? Are we consuming the word and living the word? Because if we do that, we will be safeguarded against many of the problems that Peter talks about. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would bless it to us. Would you help us? Help us to shape our minds by your word. Help us to be shaped by it and to live it out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in with me again today. It's been great to get together and open up God's Word. I'll just encourage you again, if you're planning on tuning in at the end of the month for our Ask Me Anything broadcast, please send me through any questions you've got. If you'd love to know what my favorite color is, Probably don't ask that question because I haven't got one and it'll be a really boring answer. But if you've got any random questions about anything, flick them through. It can be about our churches, can be about me, my family, or why God made the sky blue. But either way, send some stuff through and we'll look at that at the end of the month. Have a wonderful evening and we'll look forward to seeing you again tomorrow afternoon. God bless.